You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 257. Legion of Superheroes, number 23. We got some good news, and we got some bad news. And welcome to episode 257 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today I'm Kindergarten Kid. My little girl started kindergarten on Friday.
Woo!
It was a moment. And so far, she loves school. Because her favorite part is when you get to build to make necklaces.
Did she have to answer the question, who is your daddy and what does he do?
I think that's maybe next week. It was they've got like this weird sort of staggered starting. So she did like, she only went for like a couple of hours on Friday. Then on Tuesday, she goes for the whole day. But it's like they've got, so some of the kids are going on Monday, some of the kids are going on Tuesday. And so she'll be going and it won't be the full class. Then on Wednesday, it's the whole Megillah. And so maybe they'll save that question for Wednesday. Because if there is any kid who is going to say, boys have a penis, girls have a vagina, it's my kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can follow that. I really don't.
It's true, Darren. They do.
I know the biology, Paul. Jesus.
Are you sure?
quite sure. I am Darren Noel, and it's going to be one of those evenings, kid, apparently, today. Because, you know, Matt and Scotty are back from wherever they were. I'm assuming they were off, you know, honeymooning with Batwoman and Maggie Sawyer. and now they're back. I hope y'all got them some nice, you know, flannel shirts.
That's where you're wrong, Darren, because DC doesn't care if we get married.
I got them a Home Depot gift card.
Oh, nice. That works. You've done this before, haven't you, Matt? So.
Who doesn't want a Home Depot gift card?
Yeah, it's true.
Me.
I don't build nothing, but I mean, Home Depot, their company colors are orange, so I'm always happy to just wander in there.
He just wants around. The bag.
Yeah, buy the shopping bag, go home. Yeah.
In gaming terms, folks, if Scott goes into a Home Depot, he gets a +5 to his hide check.
That's right.
Everything's freaking orange. Oh, my God.
His hide check.
I know. Also, +1 to morale.
Yes. Oh, true. Yes. True. Because
they think he works there. People start asking him where stuff is.
Yeah. You want aisle 19. Yeah.
Kids coming up, hugging my leg, thinking I'm a mascot of some sort. What the hell?
That's on the doll where the bad man touched you. Yes.
Can we get a picture?
Yeah. Hey, that has happened to me. So.
Apparently in a hotel.
I've been there. I was standing right next to him.
It's not easy being a clown. That's all I can say.
All right, over you, Matt. Over to you, Matty. Yeah.
Oh, I'm Matt Kramer, and today or for the next 4 or 5 months or so, I'll be doesn't care about football lad. Because today was the big kickoff, and for now until January or February, everyone's going to be talking about the Packers around here, and I couldn't care less.
Who? The Packers?
Yes.
Darren doesn't follow the volleyballs.
I don't.
Clearly, you're not a golfer.
Oh.
You got.
And I don't follow the Winter Olympics before anyone asks either.
Yes. So yesterday they had like a little Will and Grace marathon on one of the channels, and so I watched the first one, and Will said the I don't watch the volleyball thing, and I'm like, I can't believe he stole Darren's line.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, right. That's how that worked.
And he stole the line, then traveled back in time.
Back in time. Wibbly wobbly.
Have you been renting out the time bubble again?
Exactly.
They've been hiding in the basement.
Ah, timeshare, time bubble. And I am Scott Coles, and tonight I am also back to school kid, since I had three that went back to school this week, and it was glorious. Not as glorious as it could have been, of course. I'm on days, so I went to work the same time they were at school, but
fail. However, they were more tired at night when you got home.
That's right. I envision having a couple hours to myself next week when I'm on afternoons.
There you go.
I love Adventure Time, but not having to watch it for a day or two won't hurt my feelings at all.
It's good to get a break.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of hunky Finns at Dragon Con this year.
Adventure Time has taken over cosplay.
Pretty much, yeah.
Finns and Fiona up the wazoo. Well,
it's a very simple costume, so you know anyone can do it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
I saw a really good lemon grab, though. So that's a little more
really
involved. Yeah. Yeah.
True. Yeah.
So there was a Finn and Jake. They were in an official capacity at Fan Expo. Hmm. I got my picture taken with them, but
I saw a Prince bubblegum and a Fiona at Dragon Con. I thought that was cute.
So. I got my picture taken with no less than three Fire Flame princesses.
Hmm. Wow.
Were there any
and
ice
three Velmas?
And Velma is huge. Can we talk about Velma for half a second?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, and then we got to do con wrap-ups. We got to do con wrap-ups.
Oh, that's right. We do.
Yeah.
You want to start?
Let's talk about Velma.
Oh, okay.
Where were you? We're talking about Velma.
Dude, my liver is still not talking to me. Okay.
Oh, my.
So you didn't actually want to talk about Velma? You just wanted to say you were going to talk about Velma?
I love Velma.
Well,
Tasha Diemer rocked a Velma.
That is true. Dragon I saw Con, that.
And it was impressive. And then, of course, there seemed to be a meeting of Velmas because they ran into two other Velmas. And we're trying to figure out what. They all dropped their glasses and said jinkies.
Yeah.
And
then bonked heads where they were on the ground looking for them?
Pretty much. Yeah. I'm wondering what a group of Velmas is actually called.
Did you say a jinky?
Yes.
A jinky of Velmas.
That works for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman walking down the hallway at Dragon Con. He was yelling butt scratcher, and of course I was yelling butt scratcher back. And this went on for 5 minutes. It was pretty impressive.
Were you scratching his butt?
No. It was from Family Guy.
Oh, it wasn't accusatory. It was a reference of some sort?
It was a pop culture reference.
Ah, I see.
Where instead of handing out hot dogs and slushies at the baseball, butt scratcher. And of course, you know, that went on for a while. I don't remember much of Dragon Con.
Wow, Dragon Con sounds like a blast.
I was drunk. Oh my God. I'm not drunk that much ever.
I was considerably less drunk this year than I was in previous years. I was almost disappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There was just stuff and such.
I was so drunk that at one point in the evening, I was in a fur loincloth, and one of my roommates came back to the room, and he brought 10 people with them. And I'm just lying on the bed in a fur loincloth. I want you all to imagine that.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I refuse.
You can't unsee that, folks. You just can't. Because I'm like, oh, hey, oh, my God, it's everyone at the con. Fuck. I'm good. Okay.
Meh.
So
you just have to roll with it at that point.
I know. But explain this bit of straight guy psychology to me. Straight guy is in our room. Mm-hmm. It's a mixed group. Gay guys, straight guys, whatever. He's not wearing pants. He's just wearing his underwear. We discover some girls are coming up to the room. He puts on pants.
Is he cosplaying Walter White in Breaking Bad?
No. No, he wasn't. I don't think he's ever seen Breaking Bad. I was just like, there are gay men here, and you're hanging it out for everybody to see, but the second a woman shows up, you're like, oh, I got to protect myself.
Because you don't want women to be offended. Women are easily offended creatures, apparently.
Okay.
He's just
they see it's that kind of party. Well, then they don't want to come in.
Ah, true.
He's hoping to spring it on them later, I guess. I don't know.
And he did, but that's another story altogether. Turns out
it worked then, right?
Our bathroom was actually the champagne room for about an hour and a half.
Sweet.
I passed out, apparently, so I have no idea, but yeah. He went to the free clinic after the con, just in case.
Oh, my. So,
how was your weekend?
Apparently not as interesting as yours.
Yeah.
Oh, it was great. I had a great time. What I remember of it. Fabulous. It was a blur, actually. It was over before it started, it seemed.
Uh-huh.
I had some pie made by some toothless rednecks in Tennessee, which was amazing. So that was good.
Are they toothless because they eat too much pie?
No, no. It's apple pie moonshine.
Oh, yes. Oh. Yes, yeah. Yes.
We put them in spill-proof sippy cups, which was the most brilliant idea ever. Because when you're drunk, you are going to drop your glass. Just saying. But who did I didn't really get to see a lot of guests. I actually got to speak to John Berriman for half a second. Had a bit of an anger moment with John Delancey from Hugh from Star Trek. Not that he cares. It was more of a friend reunion con than it was a get out and do stuff with guests kind of a con. So for me, at least. It was a good time.
Yeah. Good deals.
Mm-hmm. Got to see Adam and Comfort for half a second, and they were not drawing anything.
What?
Exactly.
It probably wasn't them then. It was probably someone cosplaying as them.
Yeah. Well, I was like, you're clones. What's going on here? You're pod people. You're not drawing anything? What's the problem? And they're like, we need to find our stuff. Like, no, you always have your stuff with you. I've seen you everywhere. You always are drawing. What's the problem? So I admonished them thoroughly, I'm sure. Of course, I got to see the Deemers, which was lovely, as always.
I miss the Deemers. They don't come around here no more.
Aw.
Someone baked them into a cake.
And beyond that, raves till 4 in the morning. It's fun. No complaints. My sleep schedule is still slightly off, so tomorrow morning I'm going to pay big time. But no con crud. Yay!
Yet.
No, I had
a... Oh, he went to the free clinic.
Yeah, oh, good.
No, that was my friend. No. I did not
sure.
do that.
Sure. Your friend, Daryl.
No. If I had done that, I would have taken all manners of precautions. I don't think this guy did. Although there was an hour and a half hunt for condoms, I heard that occurred while I was snoring.
Well, that's just amateur hour. I mean, Jesus.
Exactly.
Bring them along. If you're going to run around with no pants on, at least have the decency to have a condom.
Thank you.
Jesus.
I know. He got a severe tisking from me. One side.
Oh my!
Yeah, was that before or after he?
I hope you did that safely.
The free clinic.
Shut up. And then I bought a T-shirt for John Carroll and sent it to him. But in our wonderful tradition, I did cut up the T-shirt and sent it to him in 8 different pieces.
Very nice. As it should be.
Yeah, so he can duct tape that crap together and wear it while he jogs or something.
It's the Canadian way.
It is the Canadian way.
That's how it's done.
Mm. So that was basically Dragon Con. I know that doesn't sound like a big – it doesn't sound like a big deal, Darren. You didn't have – I had a great time.
Sounds a lot more
I
like
just
Frost
don't remember
Week.
A lot of it.
Yeah, it does sound like Frost Week, doesn't it?
It's nerdy gras. It's spring break for geeks. It's it's fun.
One of these years.
You should come. Seriously. It's a great time.
Sounds like I would.
Hey.
Yeah, hey. You might. If you cross a border, it's okay. That doesn't count. Right?
As far as I know.
There you go. So
Yeah, so tell us a little bit more about Fan Expo, Scott.
It wasn't much to tell. I mean, it's a lot bigger this year, obviously. They had both buildings there, which in a way was really nice. But it seemed like because they had all that extra space, I don't know. They moved all the photo ops into the front building.
Right.
Away from the rest of the con. There was just the sports stuff and a few collectible dealers in that building there.
Yeah.
And then the autographs area and the photo ops area were both in that building instead of in the main hall, as it were. So that actually, it seemed to help the congestion on the main floor a lot.
Totally.
But at the same time, they drastically underestimated the demand for photo ops with people like Nathan Fillion or the dude from Star Trek, the new one, Zachary, what's his nuts?
Oh, Zachary Quinto.
That guy, yeah. And the other guy, too, the guy who played Bones.
Carl Urban.
Yes. Oh, so there were these.
He was also in Lord of the Rings. So.
Was he?
Right.
Yeah, he was Eomer, the horseman.
I don't know what that is. But anyway.
He's Judge Dredd.
Ah, Judge Dredd.
That's right. That's right.
How silly of me. But yeah, so it was kind of unfortunate because we had a photo op for Nathan Fillion at 2 o'clock. So we got there. You know, they told us, show up 15 minutes before you're supposed to be there. Yeah, right. We showed up at 45 minutes before we were supposed to be there, and we were still 100, 200 people back in line.
Wow.
It was unreal, the amount of people. So because of the demand, basically your photo op was run in, quick grab. It's like you're photo bombing Nathan Fillion all night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like literally, as I said, I was working up this sort of little gag to say to him when we came in and do a nice pose or whatever. No, none of that. It was run in. I had just enough time to say, can she be in the middle? And we're big, really big fans, and we were out. I didn't even see Nathan Fillion. I shook a hand that I assume was his, and then we were ushered away. And I was like, oh, I guess that was Nathan Fillion.
Uh-huh.
It could have been just anybody for all I knew. I didn't actually
been a cosplayer.
Yeah, exactly. It's Nathan Fillion cosplay for all I know. But then we got a picture, and it looks a lot like him. So I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
The picture turned out good. It's Carla being flanked by complimentary colors. Nathan was in blue. I was in orange. So
yeah,
it worked out nicely. Mm-hmm. He's really tall. Either that, or I'm just really short. I'm not sure.
No, he's a tall dude. He's like 6'2" or 6'3" or something like that.
Yeah. Well, plus I was bending down to sort of be closer to Carla, so I look shorter too. So it's like the two of us and then this gigantor over here. But yeah, and then they had overbooked his autograph signings, of course, like you do.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Like you do.
So then by the time we were walking past the autograph section before we went to the photo ops. And we walk by his table, and there's a sign there that says, no more tickets for Nathan Fillion signing. Come back at 2. Mm. I'm like, well, how is that going to work? Because we have a photo op at 2, which, of course, didn't get done until 3:30, I want to say.
4, yeah.
Yeah. So we had Murray go by and check it out. And he said he got there at like 2 o'clock, and they were like, no, no. Come back in a while. He came back at 2:30. They're like, no, come back at like 4 or 5. And I'm like, what? Like, how are you supposed to? Oh, it was ridiculous. So we didn't end up actually talking to him at all because we couldn't. By the time Sunday rolled around, they had overbooked so badly. They had to honor Saturday's people on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And they only had tickets for Sunday probably for about 15 minutes. And then they were booked up there too. It was just ridiculous. Like I don't know if they just didn't know who the guy was or like what.
How did they not know who Nathan Fillion
was? I know, right? Like they just severely underestimated the draw on this guy. And
kind of what happened when I got my photograph signed from John Barrowman, which is one of the few things I set out to do for Dragon that wouldn't require me to be drunk. So I
not
showed up
per se.
Well, no, not per se, no. I show up and I discover when he's going to be around for signing. And so I get there in plenty of time, and I'm already like 100 people back in line. So I'm here. He just started signing. I figured there'd be a little bit of a line. I'm 100 people. He can whiz through that pretty quick. So I'm four people behind getting to Mr. Berriman after paying for my not inconsiderably funded autograph for him. And this is my anger moment with John DeLancey. John DeLancey comes over, starts talking to John Berriman.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Not briefly. This was a 30-minute conversation. I finally, we're all looking at John DeLancey like, can you die, please? In a fire. That'd be good. Because we're like, you're Bogarting the Berriman. He's got a line of 200 people he's got to get through.
Can't you guys hook up at the bar afterwards? I mean,
thank you. Something. Anything.
Yeah.
Totally. And of course, he turns and says to the woman, I'm sorry, it'll just be another minute. The poor woman who's waiting, who's first in line.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm like, you rude SOB.
No kidding.
You know, this is ridiculous. This was completely prima donna.
Douchebag.
I'm sorry, no one's at your table.
Yeah, exactly. No one
was at your table. Get over yourself.
Sorry, dude. Q was 20 years ago.
Thank you. Thank you. So.
My least favorite.
Oh, I'm not a fan of his.
He's my least favorite Next Generation villain, that's for sure.
Yeah, and unfortunately, he's local here. So and all kinds of freaking stuff there. But John Berriman now has to apologize to everyone in line. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. Here, let me sign this. And he gets to me, and he's like, when do we have to be at my next panel? 30 minutes? I've got a line of 150 people. Here you go. Yeah. I got the quickest scrawled signature possible.
Nice.
Because of John DeLancey.
John DeLancey, you bastard.
And that's just one of those things where, you know what? There's a time and a place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have your people, call his people, and y'all have a conversation.
No kidding, right? Like, I don't understand.
While the con is rocking and rolling, and he's doing business.
Yeah. Exactly, because he is working.
He is working.
And he's working for the people in the line.
Yes, he is making $50 per signature.
Yeah.
There were 200 people in the line. Y'all do the math.
Mm-hmm.
That's an inconsiderable amount of money.
Seriously.
And that's just when I was there. I don't know what happened when I left.
At least you have some, you know, you have a specific person you can direct your ire towards.
Yes.
For us, it's just poor people management skills. Yeah.
Exactly.
And sometimes it is like that, you know, because people just don't think, oh my God. Like George Takei was swamped all weekend. I couldn't get to him.
Oh, yeah. There was a weird story I heard this weekend or at Fan Expo about George Takei. At cons. No, I'm pretty sure it is. Apparently, I was talking to someone and they said that he was in the bathroom. They were in the bathroom.
Oh my.
And these two guys came in and said, okay, everybody, I need your attention for just a second. I need you all to stay exactly where you are. No one comes in. No one leaves. Mr. Takei is coming in to use the facilities and he needs – it's apparently in his rider – that if he goes to the public bathroom, no one can come in or leave while he's there.
Okay.
You're supposed to just stand perfectly still, and I don't know if it would spook him or something, make it crawl back up. I don't know. But apparently that's it's in his deal.
I have
heard deal.
That, but that's hilarious.
I have seen at some cons where guests go to use the restroom, people swarm to follow them.
That is ridiculous.
I hate that.
So they can try to get free pictures.
But here's the thing, though. I can see not allowing people in while he's there.
But
if I'm done peeing, why can't I just leave?
And I would have left.
Well, that's right. It's like, hey,
sorry,
you want the room? I'm done. Go ahead. Yeah. Have the room.
Go ahead. Have
knock yourself
it.
Out. But yeah, that just seemed really weird to me. It's like you're not allowed to, you're not allowed to talk to him or anything. Like you just have to stay.
Well,
if you're standing at the urinal,
happy
anyway.
It's unfortunate that there are people for whom you have to, you know, sort of lay out these rules. Like, don't talk to somebody while he's peeing, please. That's his private time, you know, a little bit of George time. Just let him have it, okay?
George time.
But yeah, that was a kind of weird story. It was neat. It's interesting, and I believe it. It sounds, but it's just it's unfortunate of the human race that it has to come to that kind of thing. I would much rather, okay, everyone, we need you to clear the bathroom. Mr. Takai is coming in. That's a lot less strange than stay where you are. He's going to pee. You're going to listen, but not look at him.
I'm pretty sure George sits to pee.
Like he wants.
He's a queen on the throne after all.
Sure. But it's like he wants the audience, but he doesn't want any audience participation. Is that what's going on? Like, I don't get it.
That's a different
club. It just seems weird. Well, I know. It seems weird to me.
That's after hours.
Yeah. That's Dragon Con. That's his writer for Dragon Con, I guess.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
But, yeah. So, anyway, yeah, long story short, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
We only got to see Nathan Fillion for, like, 2 seconds, which was unfortunate because I kind of wanted to at least say hi and, you know, chit-chat, yada, yada. I did get to meet Colin Baker, the sixth Doctor Who, so that was kind of cool. And that was on the Thursday, so there was actually time to talk to him for a little while because his line was very small. Mm. So it was nice.
Was he wearing the coat?
No, he was not. I don't think he can fit in the coat anymore, to be honest. He's gotten older. He's getting a little potty, you know, but he's really, really nice guy.
That's cool.
I told him he was my favorite doctor, which is not entirely a lie. He is one of my favorites. He's in the top two.
Your favorite doctor is Dr. Quinn, and we all know it.
Who's your other favorite?
I got to go with Baker just because he is the one I grew up. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one I grew up with, right? The scarf and everything. So, but after him, it's definitely Colin Baker.
Cool.
And then you probably one of the new guys, Tennant, I would imagine, would go and would get in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was really nice. And we talked a little bit about his audiobook stuff that he's doing now for Big Finish.
Oh, yeah.
They do like continued stories with the Doctor Who's. But using just straight audio, like radio plays kind of deals.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of cool. They get to still be Doctor Who, and
yeah, for sure.
It doesn't matter if they're, you know, going south of 250 or whatever.
True.
Because it's all in the voice.
It's all the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Con was so busy this year, I think that they're actually going to limit badges next year because of space. Situation.
Oh, they should. I really wish Fan Expo would learn that. Just, you know, sell as many tickets as can legally fit in there. Hmm. So you don't have to, like, you know what? Make it. You have to pre-order them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No walk-ins. You don't need walk-ins for a con of that size. Anybody who wants to go is going to go, and they're going to buy tickets beforehand.
Well, I think it's
a greed thing, though. It's basically
totally a greed thing.
Yeah, you know, because they're like, because what happens is first couple of nights happen, then there's a whole pile of buzz, and so you get people coming in. And the problem is that then they start selling tickets to new people, and there's people who did pre-order their tickets who end up waiting in line. And that's the problem they ran into a few years ago. And And you know, and to be fair, they've done a much better job on that aspect of things.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't hear any real big complaints about that. I actually heard one, but I think that had more to do with the volunteer staff than it did any actual planning on their part. So, but all in all, the extra space really helped the con sort of shake out some of the problems it had.
It was the easiest, you know, and for me, just coming on the one day, it was the easiest entry I've ever had. You know, it didn't hurt that I had Ella in her stroller. So, it was kind of like, oh, you can go over to that door.
Yeah,
and then, you know, there was no lineup. I walked in, checked in, and through. So, the kid gets to come every time.
Yeah, for sure.
And she's outgrowing the stroller.
One. Dude, she's 17.
Well, you've got two.
That's right. But the other one at that point will be 14. I'm still stretching it.
Yeah, a little bit.
They can't walk. Leave them alone.
Just babysit.
You just have to trade in the stroller for a wheelchair. That's all right.
But I think what we're seeing at all these cons with regards to the the amount of people showing up is a lot more than what the con goer, the con runners are expecting. Uh-huh. And I think it's because geek culture is now mainstream. It's been done. And we're seeing more and more people at these conventions. So
it's also because the conventions are becoming more mainstream.
True.
For sure, for sure.
Right. It's, you know, it's not just that it's like people are getting interested in the fringes. It's more that
Big Bang Theory talks about Comic-Con every episode.
Yeah.
You know, there's a one-liner about, well, that time at Comic-Con, you know, dot, dot, dot. So
every time they mention it, a little angel gets a check.
Probably.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
So.
All right.
But good times. No matter. You know, good times. So do you want to get this over with?
Let's do this.
I'm ready. I'm ready, Coach. Put me in.
All right, guys. Be strong. We got to get through this. And we'll hopefully have some good news once we're done with this. We got to get through what arguably is some bad news first.
I'm going to read it tonight because I will be the least traumatized, as I'm the least hardcore Legion fan we have here. So we'll do it that way. That'll make it easier on you guys.
Dude, I read Shooter. I mean, and Just in Times. Yeah, exactly.
Amazing work on issue 50, dude. Why don't we ever see him at a con?
I know, right? So, number 23, Paul Levitz, Kevin Maguire. Hey, Kevin Maguire, nice to see you. Hope you have a good long run on this. Oh, the death of, yeah. Well, so much for that. Brainy is looking sad. He's having the feels.
He is having the feels.
He read something really horrible on Facebook, and now he's all mopey.
he's listening to Morrissey.
Yeah, exactly.
So we open, and looks like we're on Shanghala. It's, what's his name, Arctic Kid? No, Polar Boy. Yeah. Polar Boy and Invisible Kid. They're standing in front of, I guess, that Sun Boy's memorial. It's got a little sun on top. That's kind of cool. Yeah. I guess there wasn't much body to bury, so.
Nope. There's some ribs left over from the barbecue.
That's right.
Tasty ribs.
Jacques says, everything since these crashes, a cauchemar.
Oh, no.
A cauchemar is, of course, a nightmare.
Yes, as we've learned, it's the one French word he actually uses.
Paul Levitz got a little card one time and had a few few choice French words on it for him to...
Yeah. One day of French lessons are paying off.
I find the coloring, like the rendering, and we're going to talk about this again, the sort of over-rendering almost,
yeah,
really sort of honestly takes away from Maguire's art here, I think.
Mm-hmm. As it has taken away from most of the art in this run.
Yep.
He's perhaps a bigger foe to the Legion. The colorist here is perhaps a bigger foe to the Legion than the Fatal Five ever was. I'm just saying.
Mm. What about Just in Time?
Oh, and Just in Time. He's no Steve Apollo.
Mm. But who is?
Dream Girl's all sad because I guess they still think that, or I guess Starboy's still dead.
Yeah, Starboy is dead. That's the confirmation on page two.
She's being kind of weird. Well, no, isn't that Sunboy's
burial? That is Sunboy's grave, yeah.
And she's licking it or something? I don't know what the hell's going on there. That's kind of weird. Because it seems like she's talking about Starboy.
Well, she is, but I think what he's saying is that at least they found Tom's body and they were able to bury Tom's body, but there was only, you know...
Right. Okay, I get it.
Scraps left of...
that none of them took.
Apparently, yes. That's right. Well, you're right, because that's right. There wasn't time to sort of...
There's nothing of dirt to bury.
Yeah. So that's what he's saying is that there's no body to bury, so it's such a mess.
Yeah. So they say, you know, they should probably get out of there. It's pretty creepy around in the graveyard, yada yada. We have the basic sort of brush off of Jacques' weird non-invisibility powers.
The teleportation powers. Yeah,
the weird land of the dead kind of powers. And they just sort of say, yeah, I don't get it either. Yep. There's your explanation, folks. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Mystery powers. Gotta love them. And we have Sensor Girl.
Who is not blonde. Oh, my God.
Oh, no. She's got, like, white hair, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. Maybe she,
blonde
maybe she...
hair is an illusion of her costume to disguise who she is, but
she's trying
everyone
to
forgot that in the reboot, so, you know.
Maybe she dyed her hair.
She's maybe trying to look younger. Did.
Yeah, Jared, she went out and got her hair did.
Hers did.
I tell you, she looks good in this.
Yeah, I got no complaints. Yeah. She's not wearing that damn mask with the hair open.
She has to look good for her new man.
That's right.
New/old man.
Perhaps.
Yep. Perhaps.
So they take off. We cut to Earth. There's Colossal Boy.
I'm actually liking that costume on him, actually.
That's pretty cool.
How nice to see him for 5 minutes. Yeah.
So he's helping.
Oh, he was out for a drive in the cruiser.
Crashed it. Now they're cleaning up the rubble from him crashing his cruiser.
There you go. And then we'll get to the mess the Fatal Five made.
That's right. So him and Ultra Boy are doing cleanup, you know, just throwing rocks around and stuff like they do. Apparently everything fell apart when Therek shorted the quark relays.
Oh, the quark relays.
Those poor, poor quark relays.
Why don't we, take the energy that we're getting and we will track it back through the sensor array and push it out through the deflector shields.
Yes. If you reverse the polarity of the dilithium crystal.
Someone has to say it.
I love techno speak.
There's a big hole where Legion headquarters used to be.
Pretty much.
Brainiac can't get a hold of Tinya, and Joe's not even sure he's even trying. So basically, they're consoling each other about losing their respective spouses.
Because Yura's lost.
Because she is definitely lost. Mm-hmm. He's pretty sure that Tinya's still alive somewhere. And as soon as we finish dealing with the known tragedies, we'll figure it out, says Brainiac 5.
Tinya just showed up in 1991 again, and it's someone wants to talk about the Lobo problem.
That's right.
Oh, geez.
FaZe is going to take care of it.
FaZe will kick their asses.
Yeah.
I like that Brainy's got his old school glasses on here, like from kind of like he was wearing at the end of the 5 year later stuff, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it is actually it is a bit like that, isn't
didn't
it?
Didn't he wear those for a while? The big goggle?
Yeah, when he was fat Brainy.
Yeah, when he's fat old Brainy.
Fat old Brainy.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad we're getting a shout out to that era.
Yeah, baby.
Where's Green Dragon?
and his own star. Where's his monkey?
Monkeys.
He's been busy, you know, because he's trying to fix everything, and it's all up to him because he's the only one smart enough. Mm-hmm. If you can't help with the wounded, go back to cleaning up and let me finish trying to save the universe. Dun, 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 dun. And Joe,
all of a sudden he's Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deal with your kids. They're assholes. Joe's not going to beat him up.
Nope. Someone else is going to do that.
So they take off, and Duplicate Damsel comes in and says, "Behave, lose the arrogance, Brainy, or we'll tell the galaxy that this is your fault."
Oh, no.
He said, No. I never should have told you. Done and done, buddy. She picks him up by the scruff of the neck. Looks like she's either going to kiss him or headbutt him. I think it's probably the first one.
Again, I wish McGuire had been on this book from the beginning.
Oh my God, that would have been so glorious.
First off, it's just great. But second, the women, they look hot.
Oh, they do. Would you please let
that duplicate damsel outfit? Come on, guys. Come on.
Oh, seriously.
Those boots are killer.
That retro go-go girl get up there.
Yeah. That's nice. That's nice. And Brainy says he wants to get back to expiating his sins. And boing, bouncing boy comes in. Hey, I found what's left of the trophy room. He's always happy. That's good.
Yeah.
And Brainy's like, don't come any closer. And that's when... So Chuck's just bouncing around. Is this really the appropriate time, Chuck? It's Superman's shirt, the one speared. The one speared.
What?
What does that
mean? Wait for it. Wait for it.
I have more important things to do than worry about objects from an increasingly irrelevant past. Oh,
there's another clue right there. Yeah.
So much to do. Weber's world needs to be restored. The science police need us to find Validus and securely imprison him. Our headquarters needs to be rebuilt. Worlds wait for us and for me to find a way to undo what Tharok has done. So we get a picture of Weber's world and who's that? That's Sensor Girl there, I guess, right?
Yeah, Sensor Girl.
And we have...
And standing on her own.
Right, all by herself. Yep.
Just by herself.
Yes.
Note
and
that.
Then we have a picture of Chameleon Boy. Is that Vi?
That's Vi. Harmonia, and Gigi.
Ah, Gigi. Yeah, I wasn't sure who that was. They're walking into Science Police headquarters, and then we have the cleanup again going on with Lightning Lass, Colossal Boy, and Ultra Boy. Like, I got a plan. I have to work out a plan. And everybody's like, count us out. And that's Shady comes walking in with Element Lad.
Yeah. And she's been sitting under the helmet for a bit.
Holy, eh? Look at that hair. Dang. She doesn't need to make darkness. She just whips her hair around.
Seriously.
I whip my hair back and forth. I whip my hair back and forth.
You can't see nothing because the tips just flick you in the eye like a spider monkey. She's like, I'm taking Mon-El home to heal if he can.
Yes, good old Stump El.
Mm-hmm. You screwed everything up and you want to take charge? I do not think so. You were not elected. And this is why. She asks Duplicate Damsel if she can move Mon-El. And the duplicate damsel say, give all of me a minute. And they take it apart and
grammar's a bit of a problem with duplicate damsel, isn't it? Give me all of a minute. Okay.
So, she just takes Mon-El and leaves.
Which is kind of odd considering they were barely speaking before he was injured.
I know, right? Like,
they did have that reconciliation.
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit of one.
Well, then he was crippled, so you know, and nearly killed. So I can understand that maybe she took this as a time to say, you know what, bygones. Let's. You know, I mean, she spent a lot of her time with.
Yeah, for sure. All the old feelings coming back and stuff, especially with the real man dead. So, there's Brainy there.
Brainy.
Brainy's like, oh, with proper restorative techniques, and Chuck's just like, time to shut up, buddy.
Mm-hmm. Seriously.
He's like, I can totally do it better than her. And we need Mon-El's ability to travel between worlds for my master plan. So he says, Harmonia, you're the leader in Phantom Girl's absence.
Oh, here it is. Here, we're going to find out what the scoop is behind Harmonia. Here it all comes. Here it is. Yeah.
That won't be necessary. The science police have other plans for the Legion. UP Council, actually, not just the science police. The plan is no plan. You're all being asked to return to your home worlds to civilian life. We're disbanding the Legion. What? Look at the face on Brady there, right? Ah!
Well, it seems to be shocking all of them there, to be fair.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Except for Chuck, you can't tell hardly because he's. Even him, he says no.
And there's a little nod to Siobhan, even though Siobhan's not appeared in ages.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, where Gigi says, I have a science police officer with plans for you, Jan.
Oh, yeah. Because he can't go back to his homeworld because it's all desertified.
Well, it's there. But
it's there. Yeah.
It's not a fun place.
No.
Go live by yourself. Go sit in the corner.
Go live in a mass grave.
Pretty much.
Sucks to be you, dude.
Pretty much.
The Legion is over. And so this is just sort of a memory of the... What's his name? Fortress Lad there. I'm assuming they haven't set up a hologram projection of it just yet for memorial purposes. They probably clear the rubble away first.
How would that be? Sorry, wait. I know we should be clearing this stuff away, but we just want to put a hologram so people know where it was.
That's right. As a constant reminder of how this happened. I mean,
Yeah.
Yep.
So here we get into the Peter Jackson Lord of the Rings style epilogue action. Because you think that's the end of the story, but oh no.
Well, it was the end of the story. The rest of this is just like...
It's little bits of, oh, maybe here's something that I was kind of planning to do and then didn't.
Where are they now? Senator John Plutarski and wife.
Whereabouts unknown.
Daniel Simpson Day. Some weeks later, I guess. So this is back on Naltor.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamy's talking to the old dudes in the pajamas.
Yeah, that should be Beren, the High Seer.
The High Seer, yeah. The last few weeks here have been such a whirlwind. The shock hasn't begun to fade. The Legion disappearing too, and with it, my life as a Legionnaire. Almost like it was all a bad dream.
I hope.
maybe that's a sign, guys. Maybe this was all just, you know, one of those snow globe things.
Yes, exactly.
And you were there.
Epilogue 2, Metropolis Earth.
Appropriately, Epilogue 2.
I get it.
Yeah, because it was subtle.
We have duplicate damsel and Chuck. They're hanging out at, I guess that's Legion Plaza again.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they cleaned it up some. I don't know what makes me feel worse, the pain from my duplicates that the Fatal Five killed, or seeing that this is all that's left of our life's work. It's like, yeah, but we saved a bunch of stuff, a bunch of folks. We trained a bunch of folks. It's all good. We had a hell of a run, he says. And we still have each other. Bow chicka bow.
I know. And you can still make yourself into a whole lot of women.
That's right.
And they're all wearing the go-go boots and dress.
Uh-huh. Bouncing boy, the luckiest Legionnaire who lived.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. If Tenzel Kem made a reality show about Bouncing Boy, it would be called My Mary Sue Wedding.
Oh, yeah.
But that last panel here is the
that's nice,
the thing
everyone's
on, yeah.
Uh-huh. He's like, hey, look at it this way. Somewhere there's other universes where it's all probably happened very differently. Maybe even Steppenwolf didn't send Superman to his doom.
Get your motor running.
Dan, get out on the highway. Yeah. And she's just like, I just hope we found each other in all of them, Chuck. Should have ended right there. That's the perfect ending. But
wait.
Epilogue 3. Orando.
It's kind of like Clue, and this is what really happened.
So, is that a ship, or are they just living on like Brother Eye over top of Orando? Like, what's going on there? Every time you see them, they're in this sort of Bible.
That's the least
shipped.
That's the least crazy that this gets.
Oh, okay, good.
Let's see. It is. Because you'll notice that only one person has been talking in all these scenes.
He did talk in the last issue.
He did, yeah. He's like, I want to go down there and kick some ass. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, right, buddy.
Briefly.
But he did speak.
He did.
He did.
However,
once.
Yeah.
However,
so well, she does all the senses, right? So,
yeah. Yeah.
So she's glad that he's found their way here, his way here, now more than ever. Tragedies of the Fatal Five assault, so many friends dead, the stark reality of what has happened continue to sink in painfully day by day and night by night as my head rests on your pillow.
Oh.
And you know that had there been another panel, it would have pulled it would have pulled back.
It would have pulled back and
she would have been on her own.
Herself.
Yeah, well, she was alone standing on that ship and you know, exactly. They didn't see Karate Kid on Shanghala anywhere.
And you know what? It would have been nicer to have seen this play out over several issues where, you know, he's back, he's with the team. Everyone's so glad to see Karate Kid back. Cause it's like, hey, yeah. Cause sometimes people come back and,
sometimes they come back again.
This is true. And
oh, Stephen man. King joke. All right.
Nice. Yeah. But you know, it would have been interesting to sort of see, and then they realize that he's not back.
He's not really back.
Yeah. I would have loved to.
He's punching all those dudes, but nothing's happening.
I would have loved to have seen that play out over a few, you know, that would have been an interesting plot line.
If that had been the subplot from day one of the New 52 stuff, that would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. But it was instead it was just like, we're not going to do anything with it. And it just got left and nothing happened with it. And,
was kind of the way, you remember an adventure where that was that weird panel where Jackie was lying in bed thinking about Val and then suddenly there was this Karate Kid that just appeared.
Exactly. And so, you know, we should have realized it then.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. But we didn't.
No, well, because there was 23 issues or 21 issues that or no, 22 issues because there was a zero that never made mention of it again. In fact, she was hardly there at all.
Yeah, she took off after that Emerald Eye annual.
Plus, we were just all hoping that Karate Kid was back
because he's Karate Kid.
Because he's cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway, poor crazy old censor girl. Epilogue 4.
Royalty is never the most stable, you know, that inbreeding.
That's true. It's a lot of inbreeding.
Yeah, exactly.
Epilogue 4, we cut to Winneth. We've got the founders hanging out on the beach.
With
chilling.
Two kids.
Martinis, the whole nine yards. Oh, probably margaritas, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did they really have to drag Brainy out of the building? Practically.
I love that.
He's probably calculating a way to fund a new legion based on Kalu with him in absolute charge. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Of course, Lightning Lad has to suck up a bit to tell Imra that she's the best leader they ever had. And she's like, whatever. Rock was the first and the best. It's like, I don't think she's talking about leadership.
Exactly. Are we talking about being the leader of the Legion again?
It ain't gay in a three-way.
That's right. The golden rule, baby.
You know what? All of a sudden, this issue became so much more fun.
I know, right? I don't know what you guys are complaining about. This is awesome. Anyway, so yeah, they talk about the good old days. And Lightning Lad's like, I just want an excuse to hang out with this pretty woman. Oh, yeah. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. He's like the quagmire of the Legion. What the heck's going on here?
Giggity.
Even if I couldn't read your mind, I'd know you were lying. We did what we could, and it was awesome. And we got each other, and that's awesome. But the Legion's finished, but I'm not going to ponder what happens on other worlds or in dreams or whether this reality is all there is in life. Here we go again with that.
Because I'm wearing Laurel Kent's old costume.
That's right. I found this poncho in the back of the cruiser. It fits a little tight, but I can't seem to break it, so that's kind of cool.
Now I've got
because our story will never end. Long live the Legion, it says. And they're apparently in the Smurf Village, it looks like.
It does.
And now well, Winneth is a farm planet, so fine. We'll take that.
And there's three moons and beautiful, like beautiful sunset sort of picture. Like it's really nicely done. I mean, it's McGuire, of course. It's all nicely done. This is probably the only panel in the thing where the color rendering doesn't sort of muck
kill it. Exactly. because it's all about color in this case.
Well, exactly. Yeah. This is where your rendering money should go, right here. You can just tone it back a bit there. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I know there were some people who were all angry about it. I just it didn't give me enough to form that much of a reaction to it.
Right.
Yeah, it's not with a bang, but a whimper.
Yeah.
Yeah. A big whimper.
Uh-huh.
A whole lot of nothing.
It mm-hmm. does make me sad that they couldn't get that Karate Kid projector storyline going sooner than
Seriously.
That would have been actual drama that you could get behind. You're like, oh no, she's going nuts, and oh, maybe she's going to turn bad. Maybe she would have been the final member of the Fatal Five. Who knows?
Uh-huh.
You know, it should have been going from the beginning, and then they found out in the middle somewhere that she was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Then, you know, yeah. You totally gone that way and had that sort of, she'd go, you know, banish herself back to Orlando and lock herself away, and then next thing you know, she's coming back with some big plan with Tharok to bring him back or something. You could have done something, that's all.
It could have been a contender. That's
right. But yeah, I mean, having it, you know, sort of off screen for all that long, and it does seem like it was we're wrapping it up, and I did introduce this thing, so I'm going to kind of...
Yeah, tease a little how I might have been doing it.
Exactly. And it just ends up disappointing because it's like, yeah, that I would have liked to have seen instead of three issues of fighting a Daxamite with the Dominators.
No kidding, right?
Yeah.
But he is really hammering on this like it was all a bad dream kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like every sort of person talks about it is talking about how either alternate dimensions or it being a bad dream, a nightmare...
It's a whole leave it wide open for a reboot.
Exactly.
Yep. The next series will have Pamela waking up. And
Dream Girl wakes up on Naltor, goes into the shower and sees Starboy. And he says, "Morning, Nora." And that's all we need. Thank you.
Morning, Nora.
If you're going to do it was a bad dream thing,
at least you have Dream Girl.
Please. Do it right. Do it the way they did it on Dallas and just move on. We will all go, oh, okay.
Yes. Dallas.
And we will forgive you and move on from this.
Yes.
So, but no, the whole thing about Bouncing Boy saying Superman's shirt and Steppenwolf, that's what happened in Earth 2, number one.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's why people are saying, well, this Legion's on Earth 2.
And you know, and the funny thing is, again, it's kind of a big deal over nothing because it's like, well, what does that matter?
It doesn't really matter.
They're from the future.
Except for the idea that perhaps this is not the real quote unquote
real Legion. Yeah.
So then the Earth One Legion has yet. Yeah.
Well, that way it is, you know, that way it separates the two, right? That way. JL3K doesn't exist on the same world, so there's no sort of on the ashes of, there's no, oh, wait, maybe Batman's actually Cosmic Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that kind of horseshit. So.
Legion 3000 special guest star Brainiac 5 kind of deal.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Special
villain
kind of
Brainiac 5.
Yeah, they can at least explain why they're not crossing over any of the Legion dudes. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it clears the deck easily, and it again, what it does is it says, you know what, lots of other worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who's got anyone's got a good pitch, put it where
Bring
you need
it on.
put the ball where you need to play it.
Yep,
true.
You know, if nothing else, it could solve the Superboy problem, all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it leaves more possibility
for
than
sure.
It takes away.
You know what I would have really liked to see? I'd really like to see the Legion facing off against like the Legion from the Crime Syndicate planet, the universe.
Oh, yeah.
So would work. Brainy be normal?
Yeah, there'd be no difference. They'd meet each other.
He'd actually be pretty friendly.
Yeah. It'd be like in Scott Pilgrim where he meets himself and they're just like, oh, yeah, he's kind of cool. He's fine. We're going for brunch.
Oh man, yeah. It just, you know, like I say, I mean, my thing was just the casual throwaway because you know at the time everyone was making such a big deal over the Earth 2 thing, and to me it's like no, the big thing, Karate Kid's not really there.
Because Jackie's totally doing a Wanda. You know, those two kids were around for a couple of years, too. They talked.
Yeah, but it did seem because there was such a point made of him not talking in this issue.
Yeah.
You know, it would I guess that was more of a them
and not interacting with the other Legionnaires at all.
Yeah.
He's only there when it's her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, nah. Anyway.
Well, but and then she starts getting into the sort of the babble of that first appearance, you know, the whole my head on your pillow thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She begins to soliloquize like royalty that's not well and is about to have consumption or something. So, you know. Like, you're sounding like Shakespeare. This is not good. This is not good. No.
So sorry, Darren. I didn't mean to stop you there.
No, it's okay. We had a someone on another Facebook page called the Dr. Spoilers Comics and Movie page that I joined said that he met Keith Giffen yesterday.
Ooh.
And this fan's name is Justin Allen, and he said he was seriously one of the nicest guys I talked to at the con. He told me what really happened with the Legion. Now, keep in mind, this is what Justin says, Mr. Giffen said.
This is hearsay, not official, but we want to hear
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So he, meaning Keith Giffen, was brought onto the book to help up the sales. After a week or so, he found out that the book was canceled no matter what he would do, no matter how high the sales were. And that upset him. He then came up with the idea to kill every Legionnaire off, with the founders being the last to die, but being the ones to save the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
After they fall, Tinya would come back saying that she went to a different past Earth and that they were not from the current DCU Earth, not Earth 2 or Earth Prime, though DC seems to have plans for those futures, in parentheses. He went on to say that we have not seen the Legion from the current Earth yet, and JL 3000 will not be the Legion, but we will be seeing the Legion again sooner than we think.
Oh.
And I think that's our bit of hope here, that hopefully soon something Legion will come our way and it'll be good.
That's bogus, man. That sucks.
Get much worse.
Well,
I'm not surprised at all, because you know they cancel books months before they're actually announced to be canceled.
And with where the sales had fallen, I can't, you know, I'm surprised they kept it going as long as they did.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that had to do with, it's our old boss. Well, okay, give him something else to do.
Yeah. Man.
But hey, as long as Earth 2 sticks around.
But why would you do that to Giffen? That guy has been a solid team player for you for years and years and years. And you tell him one thing, you tell him that he's coming on the book to bump sales, and then just as quickly turn around and say,
because probably when they told him that in the first place, that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was.
And then it changed.
And then it was basically, hey, you know what? It ain't, you know, we're not making money on this. And to be quite fair, having Levitz and Giffen on the book, they draw a decent page rate, and the book was it's pretty clear that the book wasn't even breaking even.
Mm.
And
they were saving money on colorists, though.
Fuck.
Sorry, I wasn't a fan either.
Yeah.
I liked it at the beginning, but yeah, this issue was just horrible for coloring.
Give Ella some crayons and she can have a job.
Yeah, but you know what, I printed off the on the DC site, they've got a bunch of coloring pages, and mm-hmm. so I printed a bunch of them off. The Flash she did perfectly. She decided Batman needed a redesign, so he ended up with a green cowl and shirt, yellow gloves, and a red cape.
Hey,
he's too dark. Nice. Eddie, he's too dark.
I was looking at it and it's like, oh, Zurinar.
Yeah.
But you ask, why would they do this to Levitz? Why would they do the things they've been doing to all kinds of creative teams at DC. I mean, that's...
Well, no, Levitt's, you know, I get it. It was just really weird to have Giffen come on and then suddenly not be on.
Well,
it.
I agree, but yeah. I think this is indicative of DC management.
Yeah, a lot of it has to do with they're not always in charge.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, because it's Giffen, he was allowed to go to something else and not just said, hey, you don't have a job anymore if you don't want to work on this book.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, the reality of it is that probably at the point at which they, you know, they said, hey, maybe we can bump this up in time, you know, before the bean counters take notice. And so they offer him the gig, and then they get told, yeah, sorry, you don't get to do that.
Yeah.
And you know, it's too late. And as it is, you know, before anyone knew about any of that stuff, when Giffen's first issue came out, it wasn't that much of a bump.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, sure. It actually wasn't a bump. So, you know, I can't say that they were necessarily wrong in that. You know, I think they, you know, they basically realized that, hey, leaving this one alone, continuity wise, didn't do us any favors.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, it hurt the book, because again, they weren't able to capitalize on the influx of new readers at the beginning and to try and retain some of them.
True. But hopefully, Mr. Giffen's correct about the Legion coming back soon. So
yeah,
and that's our hopeful news. So there you go.
There you go. Hey, also let's you know, there's something else to look at here. Is Paul Levitz actually won an award this weekend?
Woo!
And so we should actually, you know, we should mention something about that. So he won a Harvey Award yesterday, I guess. Well, it doesn't matter, because whenever you're reading it, it's all relative to that. But he won. It was a humanitarian award, and sorry, I'm just trying to pull it up here. All right, so
why?
Hey now. All right, so it is the and this is actually kind of important, because it is the Dick Giordano Humanitarian Award. So the owner of Diamond, Steve Jeppy, presented the Hero Initiative Dick Giordano Humanitarian Award to Paul Levitz, and Jeppy said, "I met this young fella in 1973 at a New York comic art show where I was on the second floor. A young Paul Levitz came up to my table, and keep in mind, I was clueless. Paul was 17 or so. I had just bought a bunch of spirit sections, and Paul had his checklist and went through the box and found the ones he needed. He pulled out a checkbook, and I said, 'I don't take checks.' And he said, 'But I'm Paul Levitz.' And he said, and I said, 'I don't care. I don't take checks.'" So Jeppy went on to remember, and sorry, I'm taking this from a live blog from The Beat, at comicsbeat.com. Jeppy went on to remember Dick Giordano, for whom the award is named. He would be proud to know that Paul would be getting this award. Jeppy praised his work, he says, on Earth 2. He means world's finest, but his humanitarian efforts as well. He says, Paul, in his executive position, worked on a lot of things that were outside the industry that were great beneficial to a great many people in need. He says, there's never been a better friend to the direct market than Paul Levitz. This industry went through a lot, and in the mid-90s, when there was crack, what? This is what happens.
There's
when you're
always been cracked.
This is what happens when you're live blogging too quickly. Sure. There was this guy who had so much love for the industry. He took the time to analyze everything and study it. Of course, I'm prejudiced, but I think he made a wise choice. But it became very clear to me, this guy who created the Huntress was every bit as passionate about the industry as anyone I'd ever met. I had no clue that I would get into distribution, but Paul showed me there was business here and showed me there was a future. And this year we've been blessed. Everyone should be very proud they've stayed the course. Chapman, Buscema, Kitchen, this man stood up for what was right and stood up for the retailer. So they gave Levitt's a standing ovation, and he said that it was an honor to get an award named for Giordano. He said he was a dear friend. He was a big kid who just loved comics, and he would talk about life and taught me important things like how to lie to my mother. He said Dick has, in his humanitarian way, decided to tell his mother that her investments were doing better than she thought, and he put more money in her account. More important, he taught me in the halls of D.C. the debt we had to the people before us, and that the artists in this business live much more precarious lives than the executives in this business. He said, everything Steve mentioned in terms of my love for comics is true. I was a fan, and I'm thrilled to see what has happened. But it has all happened because of the creative people, not just today's winners, but the ones who created things that the winners read as kids that made them want to be in this business. He points out what a good thing the Hero Initiative is to help out creators in their moment of need, and thank you for your roles in this crazy business of ours. This exists because we're all lunatics.
Nice.
He says he went on to talk about the history and people coming into the industry. He said, we've had a great year, and I see books coming out and so many wonderful things that we couldn't do 20 years ago. I thank you all for creating the future but remembering the past. I'm glad you're all crazy enough to be here rowing in the boat with me. So there we go. Dick Giordano, Humanitarian of the Year.
Woohoo!
There you have it.
Yep, congratulations.
And
you know, he's doing, Mr. Levitz is doing a lot of teaching. I would love to see about getting into one of his online courses if he does online ever.
Yeah, well, most of the stuff he does. Yeah, I think he does a lot at NYU.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's it, yeah.
I'm going to go on ratemyprofessor.com and see what they say.
You did say rate, right?
Rate.
Oh.
I thought that was taking an awful turn.
I thought this was one of those Grindr things. I'm like, oh.
No. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my.
There really is a whole nother internet for the gay people, isn't there?
And it's fabulous.
Fabulous.
It absolutely fabulous. It is. Sweetie, darling. Darling, sweetie. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to tell you about all the beautiful things you're missing out on by being straight.
Oh, my.
I get it. Just another club that doesn't want me. All right. Fine enough. That's good.
Sweetie, it's sweetie. Orange is so passing.
What else? That's just
hurtful.
Yeah, it's just mean. And also, Matt?
Yes?
What else is it?
Racist.
Yeah.
Probably.
Hater Darren again.
Always hating on me for the color of my clothes.
I know, right?
All right, so...
I'll call you to let you know when Orange is back in.
That would assume that I gave a rat's ass, sir, and I just do not, so...
Well, you know, I don't... My phone doesn't do international calling, so you'll never get that phone call.
No. Do you know what that actually means to me? That means, you know, every 5 years or so, Orange comes into style briefly for a season. That's when I get to buy clothes again. That's fine.
That's true.
That's the stock up year.
So you don't have to go to like the thrift store and such, you know.
Well, I still do because I like to.
Okay.
You know,
there's nothing wrong with that. I love that stuff.
But yeah, you know. Old Navy gets a load of Orange stuff in. Well, there you go. Yeah.
That was just my favorite thing when we got to Fan Expo and Ella was talking about, you know, where's Uncle McMonkey? And it's like, let's just look for the brightest, section of Orange and we'll know he's there. And then two people come walking by in prison jumpsuits. It's like, come on.
There were quite a few.
Is the new black.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
then she said, Daddy, maybe Uncle McMonkey is a superhero. And I said, sweetheart, Uncle McMonkey is always a superhero. And she was quite pleased with that.
You won't see him on The Brave and the Bold, but
he's Pumpkin Man.
Pumpkin Man. We just started reading the We finished The Wizard of Oz, the Eric Schanauer and
Scotty Young.
And we So we just started on book two, which is the Marvelous Land of Oz, and it's got Jack Pumpkinhead in it.
Oh yes.
And she's loving that. So
I picked up both of those. I picked up the Land of and Ozma, the one after that, at Fine Expo there at the $10 a piece for the hardcovers.
Seriously. I did go looking. I had most of the singles for that, but I did go looking for them because we just we just finished reading the trade and it's oversized a bit, and she just loved it, you know, and it's great to because she's just on a real Oz kick. She loves the movie, she loved the book, and she's watched the Franco movie about a dozen times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anything to do with? Oh, seriously, I could recite a lot of that movie. And there's a monkey in it, so.
Oh yeah.
Voiced by Zach.
Yay Brown. For monkeys! Yeah. Yay for monkeys!
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. But yeah, we've been reading that, and so Jack Pumpkinhead is in it now, and she's quite pleased. Yeah.
It's about that time. Fall is upon us soon. Yay!
It is. Oh, yeah.
Pumpkin flavored everything.
Yes. Oh my God! Am I the only one who doesn't like pumpkin flavored beers?
No.
If it were you and I standing there and you said that, then the answer would be yes. But clearly, if Darren were also standing there, I would be the only one that likes them.
It's true.
I can't say I've ever had pumpkin flavored beer.
Yeah, I like pumpkin desserts, but I'm not a fan of pumpkin savory stuff. So that's just me.
Barbecued pumpkin.
Oh, yeah, no, thank you.
Fish sticks.
Yeah.
Stuffed with fish sticks.
Pumpkin cheesecake. Yum.
It's like a turducken, but really, really not.
A turducken.
I was getting some treats for Charlie on the weekend, and was at the pet store, and they had turducken flavored like pill pockets or something like that.
Yeah. Turducken flavored anything just sounds hilarious.
Right? Like, how can you have something that is turducken flavored and is only one layer?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's like a deal. It's just it's layer like a upon
little,
layer.
Little Russian doll pill pockets.
That's right. Seriously. That's a nesting doll of crunchy dog.
If they weren't so expensive, I would consider doing it one year if I had some a bunch of people to come over because. Uh-huh. But they're really expensive to buy.
Oh, duck and goose are just crazy expensive.
Just hang out at the park for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I could. Around here, Stratford, we got swans. I could have a swan, a goose, and a duck. Boom, done.
Swans are mean. Holy crap.
So are geese.
That's what I mean. I wouldn't feel bad about whacking them.
That's true. That's true.
And this reminds me, actually, I know we're kind of in wrap-up mode, but let's just hit the mailbag for a minute.
Woohoo!
Is that a euphemism?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Okay. Billy Hogan has sent us a message saying about some of his thoughts on Legion 23. He said, got my copy of the last issue of the series on Saturday. While overall I thought it was a good send-off of the current series, I had mixed feelings on a few things. I was sad the Phantom Girl didn't make an appearance to give her a chance to redeem herself.
And seriously, my biggest one.
Yeah, definitely. That's
so angry.
She was there. We just couldn't see her.
I'm letting it go.
Wait, that wasn't her power.
I'm letting it go.
That's good.
Anyway.
I got much better. Okay, so and he continues to say
class for that now.
and I thought the UP was extremely ungrateful because it was the Legion that saved its bacon once again. Bacon. Thanks for saving us, Legion. To show our appreciation, we're ordering you to disband.
Yeah. Well, the Legion did also cause that.
There is
tomato tomato.
Thanks for fixing this mess you started.
So basically what we've said is Earthman is right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know it.
He said and you'll love this. The end of the issue almost had as many epilogues as Return of the King.
Hey.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed seeing the Legionnaires who had a chance to take a final bow. Brainy's Seek reminded me of the Lex Luthor of the Pocket Universe in John Byrne's last Superman story, who was outwitted by the Pocket Universe Phantom Zone prisoners to release them. Even though he knew about the kryptonite Superman, or the kryptonite that Superman eventually killed them with, his vanity led him to try to beat them with his own intellect, with disastrous results for his Earth. Brainy has that same flaw. Totally.
Yeah.
The twist at the end, which hinted this could be the Earth 2 Legion, gives any new creative team an out so that they have room to tell the stories they want without worrying about conflicting with this now finished continuity.
True.
He says, it's sad that there's no new Legion series, at least in the foreseeable future. The Legion is my second favorite title after the Superman books. Hopefully there are some writers and artists out there who have a vision who can get them back on course for the first time in a long while. Enjoy every episode. Mondays at work are more bearable as I listen to you guys. Long live the Legion, Billy Hogan. And check out Billy Hogan's Superman fan podcast. If you are a fan of Superman, this will be something you love.
And who isn't a fan of Superman, I ask you?
DC? It.
Oh, hi-oh!
Yeah, anyway, his is a great one to check out. He goes through, like, just looking at the last couple of episodes. We've got in episode 278, he goes through Action Comics 289, and with the stories in there, the Super Practical Joker, and I love that he also lets you know which showcase the story can be found in as well. So if you
very handy.
Then in issue 279, the Crybaby of Metropolis. This came out of the it was from Jimmy Olsen. So issues from that were covered in the Superman Family showcases, which had like a bunch of the Lois Lane and Jimmy Olsen issues, and lots of fun stuff to be had there. And check out his show. Very cool. It is the Superman Fan Podcast, and it can be found at thesupermanfanpodcast.blogspot.com. And I believe we have a link up to it, although God knows after all the website blow-ups, it might be something that I have to once again fix. And he wasn't the only one who sent us mail.
What?
That's right. Glenn Benedict sent us a message, and he sent this one a little earlier, but it got stuck in my other mailbox on Facebook.
Oh, I hate Facebook.
Yeah, always with the
other. For that.
Exactly. Everything else, I love it.
So, Darren, are you ready?
Uh-oh.
For what exactly?
Match game!
I can do match game. Sure. I can fill in your blanks. Not a problem.
Is this Spartan?
That's what they all did right on match game. They filled
slowly
in
slowly I turned.
Dumb Doris was so dumb.
How dumb was she? Dumb Dora was so dumb that when she saw a sign that said wet floor, she blanked.
Hey.
I know.
Plots.
All right. Stump the Subs. Long-time listener, first-time stumper. Instead of the usual three-era format, I chose to submit three questions about my favorite Legionnaire, and I like this guy already, Tenzel Matarinier Lad Kem.
My
favorite Tenzel. Run of the Legion, Volume 4. Of course, that is the 5 year later.
5 year later.
Mm-hmm. Question number one.
Mm-hmm.
On what planet was the Braino costume that Tenzel makes Polar Bear wear in Issue 9, Tenzel for the Defense, made? On which planet was the Braino costume made?
The Braino costume.
Oh, dear.
Whatever planet Karl Lagerfeld is on, I don't.
Tacron Galtos.
No, it wouldn't be. That's a prison.
I know. That's what they make. Instead of making license plates, they make.
It wouldn't be Weber's World. Braino. Titan. Let's go with Titan or Kolu. Ooh, Kolu. Let's go with Kolu instead.
Matt?
No idea. All
so right. Clearly I'm wrong.
It was it's Wyneth. There was a Made in Wyneth sticker on the back of the headpiece as they go through the spaceport.
Because the Rands family is known for their brains throughout continuity. Yes, it's true.
Well, they made a costume. They didn't make them smart or anything.
True.
All right. Question two. In the text piece for issue number 43, Jacques Foccart laments the new Legion's lack of codenames and uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, none of Tenzel's ideas for his new codename were considered appropriate. Name one of the five suggestions that Tenzel gave Jacques.
Ah. He's suggesting names for Jacques or for himself?
For himself.
Better your lad's names for himself. The new ones. None of them being appropriate. Ugh. Chew. masticate. I'm thinking, I don't know.
The swallower?
I like Tenzel more already, which I didn't think was possible because I love Tenzel anyway. Yeah, any of those having to do with his, and of course God, I think Tenzel put that one in there just for fun.
You know, it's funny. There's a few things you kind of hit on. Number one was Albert Symphony Orchestra, Bismol Boy.
Nice.
Consumer Advocate.
Oh, good one.
Oh, that's a nice one, yeah.
Mastication Mort.
Oh, I was close.
And in tying into your last suggestion, Pope Anastasius IV.
I think I was close with those last two. You can switch those together.
All right, question number three.
God of Mastication. That would be a really cool code name. Anyway,
there's a lot of people who wouldn't understand what that meant.
I know. Mastication people, look it up.
All right. The Beer Bomb's penultimate issue on the Legion, which was number 49, proudly boasts the world's first edible cover. With an asterisk, but only if you're Bismolian. True to the hype, Matter Eater Lad is portrayed eating the cover, revealing part of the first page, a 9-panel grid consisting of 8 Tenzel Chem trading cards and the wrapper they came in. Either describe the picture or quote the caption for 4 out of the 8 trading cards.
Ooh. Oh my God, no. I'm still drunk from Dragon Con. No. It's not going to happen, babe. Not going to happen.
All right.
Unfortunately, I didn't get this far into it, so I have no idea.
No. I do have, just for your future reference, Scott, if you want to check them out, I do have all of the Tenzel issues on the Comixology because they're awesome. So the answers. Number one, Tenzel meets his mystery date, the lovely Eiffel Ethel. And we see Tenzel and Ethel in front of a folding screen and a couple of stools, like they're on the dating game. Number two, Tenzel devours the Miracle Machine, destroying the awesome Omega creature. And it's Tenzel eating the Miracle Machine as Omega looks on. Number three, the alien Miracle Machine energies give Tenzel strange side effects. Ooh. Tenzel flying through a hospital while covering his mouth.
Oh, God.
Tenzel at the famed monument to the great champions of many planets. And you've got Tenzel swinging a bat. Tenzel's clutch home run takes the Bismol by cuspids to the playoffs. And you see Tenzel, I think he's mixed these two around. Tenzel swings a bat for that one. The famed monument to the champions of many planets would have Tenzel in front of a group of statues. Estimate Lad, Doubleheader, Eiffel Ethel, Tusker, and Arm Fall Off Boy.
Yay, woo! Arm Fall Off Boy!
Yes. Okay. So he says down here that due to a misprint, two of the cards have the wrong caption. So... So he was right in mixing them up because that's the way they were.
Ah.
Then Tenzel frees Breck Bannon from unjust imprisonment by EarthGov. Tenzel for the defense. Number seven, Tenzel frees zombie inmates from Evilo's Realm of Darkness, which was, of course, when they fled from the zombies I guess that would have been the middle issue.
That was
43? No.
Yeah, it was a recent issue there, so yeah.
Oh, no, it was the Nah, I don't know. Anyway, I think you're right, yeah. And then the spinning Jenny, invented 1787, eaten 2997. And it's,
oh my God,
Tenzel eating the spinning Jenny.
Of course it is.
And so there we go. So thanks very much for those, Glenn. You managed to stump with Tenzel Chem questions.
Indeed. Congratulations, sir. Go to Murray's house and ask for something Legion related.
And he'll give it to you one little piece at a time.
He will. Hey. With little pasted things on it. So
be careful. Yeah, love that. Love
be careful.
That. Love that.
You've been warned.
All right. Anyone got anything else?
Nope.
No.
Comments, as always, are welcome at Legion of Substitute Podcasters at gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page. It is found easily at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble and make our way back to the 21st century on some earth or other, and
unless it's a dream,
I think we're all real. And we will see you all next week,
Harvey.